Blog Talk Radio.
See Muhammad give you knowledge that you can't say pop it. He my father already here, let alone coming. Let every ear hear, he be blowing like a trumpet. I use my music like a gun and I'ma dump it. Hey bro, I do this for my God and all he come with. Yes sir, you best believe it, make no assumptions. You trick or treat on Halloween, it ain't about pumpkins. You feed your mind the wrong thing and it be nonsense. He call you dead cause you kill your own conscience. The innocent and right and wrong in one's conduct. Rebel against Allah, who knows where you wind up. And for you devils, my God says your time's up. That food from my father, that heavenly water. Brother, stop being ignoring and start to be smart. He took murderers and made them men and true fathers. Just imagine what he can do. What if you rob? He can show you how to eat to live if you bother. Show you how to keep bringing fear with no problem. So many deviating be laying under the needle. The son of man, he's the son of the sequel. A result, a consequence, of interference, and he won't stop until we equal in him.
All of my people, all of my people, just wanna be equal, wanna be equal. I'm coming to get ya.
The beneficent, the merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger, and I bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder and comforter in our midst. and it is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to be amongst you once again and greet you in our greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Thank you. And I am also proud and honored and privileged to be blessed with the opportunity to present a brother who undoubtedly has devoted his life to helping the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan spread the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and deliver us all back to Allah. So again, let me present my dear brother, my friend, my wali, my minister, student minister, James Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you, dear sister, Queen Aziza Muhammad. Listen, to all of you once again, you've all heard me say this on a number of occasions, but each time I think that I've been able to take it, I cannot get used to the kind of introduction my sister lays on me. And again, I hope to one day, by the grace of Allah, approximate, come near to the accolades that she lays on me. So I have to say all praise is due to Allah, and we forever thank him for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, without whom we would be very little to speak of at all. Again, always prefacing our statements in the name of Allah, beseeching the help of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. We forever thank him for making his presence known to us in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, the great Mahdi, and raising up from our midst, the midst of the despised and the rejected, his Messiah, the exalted Christ, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, through whom we have been given the wonderful example of the quality of a human being. He is deliverer, he is reminder, he is warner, he is comforter. He is the spirit of truth, as referred to in Scripture, that will guide us into all truth, and I refer to him as my personal redeemer. The man of whom I speak is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. In their names, beloved brothers and sisters, our esteemed panelists, all of you in our listening audience and online audience, once again, we greet you with the greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.
Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Great honor and privilege to host this evening our beloved brother and student regional representative, the Southern Regional Representative of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam. Now, dear Minister, please forgive me. I have been trying to bring up your resume, your bio, rather, and this computer is just not acting right. But I want to, if you don't mind, if you can say a few words about yourself regarding the time in the nation. This man is a man of so many accomplishments in the nation. God, I really wish I had that resume in front of me. But you all have heard of the Dope Busters, I'm sure, in our listening audience. Well, the man whom we are blessed to host today is one of the founding, if not the founding father, of that great security organization. He's held many posts in the nation, notable of which, all of them notable, but among those notable, of course, is student captain in Washington, D.C., and most notable, our supreme captain of the Nation of Islam. This is a man who, over the years that I have been blessed to know him, is a man not of many words as such, but one of the most progressive ministers, student ministers, I have been blessed to have or to meet the acquaintance of and to get to know him a little bit. He's one of the most progressive student regional ministers in the Nation of Islam. You don't have to take my word for it. Just pay a visit to the great city of Atlanta, Georgia, and see the enterprises that are sprouting up on behalf of Mosque Number 15 and the Nation of Islam under his leadership in the southern region. This man has traveled all over the world. I don't know how many times you've circled the globe with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, Brother Minister, but I know every place he goes, there you are. And that's what the minister said in his inaugural remarks, introducing Brother Sharif when he was appointed the Supreme Captain of the Nation of Islam. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan stated that this man never left this side. Others may have gotten preoccupied with some business of theirs, not to, of course, to condemn anyone or taking advantage of some free time in their work of securing the minister. But Brother Sharif, the minister said, never, ever left his side. What a wonderful example of love, of commitment to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the Nation of Islam, and the mission of the resurrection of the dead. A no-nonsense brother, a strict disciplinarian, a maker of men, a forger of manhood in men, but a brother who loves deeply the nation, black people, all Muslim believers, no matter what post they may or may not hold. He loves very deeply and very sincerely, unpretentious, and never, ever, ever wears his post for the distinguished work that he has done and is doing on his lapel. Very humble, brother, but great in his humility. Let's see, Brother Minister Sharif, I'm not trying to embarrass you, dear brother, but I don't have your resume in front of me. And that's what I really wanted to share with the listening audience, or your bio, rather, not your resume, because you certainly are not applying for anything on this show. But your bio, it's rich in the record of contributions made as you assist the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan all over the world, certainly in this country and in Atlanta and, of course, in Chicago, but all over the world. I am deeply grateful and highly honored to present to most of you, because most of you know him or have heard of him, and introduce to some of you in our listening and participating audience our beloved brother, student regional representative of the southern region of the Nation of Islam, Brother Student Minister Abdul Sharif Muhammad. And dear brother, you have the floor for whatever opening remarks you desire to make.
Yes, sir. I'm first of all, Bismillah Rahman Rahim. I got with it. There's no God but Allah, Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum. And I'd like to bring greetings to your listening audience and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Assalamu alaikum.
Please return the greetings to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Thank you.
Inshallah. First of all, I just think it's an honor for me to be on your show, and thank you all for allowing me the opportunity to say a few words to your listening audience. It's just, it's just an honor, and I thank you, Brother James, especially because you personally asked me to come on, and I just want to thank you again for having a few words. But I just would like to say to your listening audience also, I'm just your brother.
Yes, sir.
Your brother. Thank you for that. And whatever you have for me, questions or what have you, I'm here to serve. That's what I'm here for.
All praise is due to Allah. And that is what's most distinguishable about you, dear brother, that you are, in fact, first and foremost, our brother. And that's wonderful and unique. It's unfortunate that it's unique, but it is unique characteristic, dear brother. And we thank Allah for you and your humility. For those of us who are listening, I'm sure we all know by now that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam is planning to host the 18th annual celebration and commemoration of the Day of Atonement and the Million Man March right in Tuskegee, Alabama. And that will be the centerpiece of our conversation, inshallah, with you, Brother Minister, tonight.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
In the first hour. We also want to talk about the time and what must be done as expressed in the minister's latest installment, The Wicked Policies of America and her international interest. Now, as America postures herself as the champion and caretaker of human rights, not only in America, but throughout the world, what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has been and is exposing is the hypocrisy of her posture, in that she's calling all of these other nations to account for their quote-unquote violations of the human rights of their own citizens. However, historically and currently, when the covers are pulled back from America and her government, we find, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is exposing, she has, the worst civil rights, human rights record of any nation in the world. We cite, of course, the obvious, the transatlantic slave experience. But it's not limited there in that horrendous history, because she has violated the rights of everyone, even her own white and broader citizenry, she has violated the rights of, and she seeks to deceive the nations of the world. She goes to war on the basis of a lie and makes no bones about it, nor any apologies. But she poses herself as a champion of human rights. Well, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, several months ago, blessed us with a message from the University of Tuskegee, Alabama. And what he stated there, principally, as a really a theme, he said Tuskegee was and is the seminal seed of the kingdom of God. Now, Brother Minister, would you expand on that, sir, the importance of Tuskegee University and why the minister has decided to have the celebration of the Day of Atonement there?
Yes, well, as far as I can tell, I'll be glad to tell you what I know of his reasoning. And then one of the main reasons he wants to go back to Tuskegee, as most may not know, is that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad wanted to buy Tuskegee Institution 30 years ago because he wanted to return it back to the pristine teaching of Dubois and Woodson, Booker T. Washington. That's what he wanted to do then. And now Louis Farrakhan wants to do it now. Many people don't know that Tuskegee institution, although it's in a small little town in Alabama, but it produces most of the farmers in the world. Most people don't know that. But that's what the Honorable Louis Farrakhan really wants the world to know now. And he wants to bring the light back and shine it on the university in Tuskegee. Most of us have gotten away from farming. And the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, if you recall him saying that, nowadays the farmer's going to be driving Lamborghinis, and Wall Street is going to be driving both wagons soon.
Yes, sir.
Because that's what's getting ready to happen. Because farmland, farming is the engine of any country. And that's what we have to get back to, back to farming. And that's what the University of Tuskegee represents. And that's, again, I say he wants to shine the light back on that institution of farming. Farming. I want to keep putting it out there, farming.
Yes, sir.
And that's what most of our people lost the land when we did have it. And the enemy got the land, and that's why he could control the whole world now, because he has all the majority of the land. He has our food, and he's poisoning us. And that's why I'm a little Farrakhan, if you would have listened to The Time of What Must Be Done, he's dealing with the foods again. It's coming right out of Scripture, what foods to eat and for what foods to store, because the enemy has control of the land, and he's poisoning us all over the world. And that's why we have so many diseases today, coming from the eating the poison food, the chemicals that's in the food that they control. And it's time now. And what must be done? We must control our own farming. That is so important. But on the Holy Day of Atonement, God willing, I'm a little far. I will go further into all of this. So I will say again, we must listen to Honorable Louis Farrakhan, the time and what must be done, because he's bringing it down. He's telling us what food to eat and what food not to eat. And all this is written in Scripture, the time and what must be done. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Minister. And you make an excellent point regarding the necessity of our return back to farming. I have to say, on a personal note, when I was coming up, brother, in the hood, you know, in New York, we would hurl the word farmer at each other as if it was an insult.
Mm-hmm.
And what that meant was that you were behind the times, or you weren't dressed in the most trendy outfit. You were lame, and we would hurl that term back and forth at each other in an insulting way, not even taking into consideration, not even thinking at all about the actual fact that if it were not for the farmer, we would not have any of the food to give, to have the strength or breath to insult one another.
Mm-hmm. So true.
You know, Brother Minister, the hard and harsh facts are, as the minister shared with us, from 1865 to 1890, black people owned 16 million acres of farmland, or 16 million acres of land. Today, we own 25% of that figure, and we are about to become absolutely landless here in America. We are a people, as you well know, Brother Minister, we are a people who live in the ghetto in a shack, but will have a Cadillac or Benz or some of a fine car, and dress in the finest clothes and wear jewelry to the cost of thousands of dollars and without having a decent place to live or lead or owning an inch of the land upon which we walk. So we're in bad, bad, bad shape. And so we have to get back to the farm, the health of the nation, including white people, but targeting blacks, specific to blacks. Our health has declined so poorly. Our lifespan has been reduced so drastically. And it is as a result of the foods or that which is masquerading for food that we're now taking into our system. This is all part and parcel of a plan that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan laid out, stemming from a national security study memorandum from Dr. Kissinger in the Ford administration, and then also represented to Carter, a depopulation plan. They are actually planning to depopulate the earth by 2 to 3 billion people, and they're doing it in many different ways, but specifically by what the people are putting into their mouths and into their stomach. Now, Brother Minister, yes. This forum that we're blessed to have on this show is one where we want the audience participation. So I'm going to stop talking and see if we can open up the audience so that they can address you with whatever questions and comments that might be on their mind, dear brother. So if you don't mind, yes. I'd like to open up the audience.
Yes, sir. Please.
Okay. Sister Aziza?
Yes, sir. Well, we have one question from Brother Eugenio. Okay, he's going to kill me. Eugenio.
Yes.
He wants to know, Brother Student Minister Sharif, will Mosque 14 have a farmer's market which fresh produce can be purchased from them weekly? And he also wants to know, are you going to be transporting people from Atlanta to Alabama for the Day of Atonement?
Yes, well, I'll start with the last question first. Yes, we have many buses. We have the mosque have five buses even, and the Concerned Black Clergy have a couple of buses going in. Reverend McDonald, who had the LOC last time going to Million Man March at the local organizing committee, they have buses going, and Reverend Love have buses going. So we have many buses going to the Holy Day of Atonement. That's no problem for transportation. Yes, sir, we do have many buses going. And to answer your question about the food, are we going to have a market? We have a community garden about 2 blocks from the mosque where we're growing our fresh food right now to put it into our store. We're in the process of opening up your farmer's market real soon. And we also have a restaurant where we cook fresh vegetables right now. So to answer your questions on all fronts, yes, sir.
Oh, praises to Tulaba. Okay. Let me remind the listening audience, we do have a lot of people on the phones. Some of you may be able to get through, some of you may not. But if you have a question for Student Minister Sharif, please press 1 on your dial pad so that I can see that you have a question, and we will try to get to your question if they happen to come through. Okay, we have some questions in Yahoo and Google Chat, and I'm going to start with the Yahoo chat first from Brother Joel. Brother Joel asks, why did the Honorable Elijah Muhammad say that the Orthodox Muslims will have to bow to the choice of Allah, and that Allah will bring a new Islam, yet the Orthodox Muslim reject this part and accept other parts? Are these true Muslims?
Well, I'm not in the business of judging who is a true Muslim, who is not. You know, we're taught by Honorable Louis Farrakhan that, you know, if you profess being a Muslim, that's who you are. You know, we're not going to be divisive. Honorable Louis Farrakhan told me and taught me never to debate. He taught me to always reason with one another. So I would suggest to my brother, tell him to watch every Saturday afternoon the time and what must be done. And I'm quite sure he'll get the answer he's looking for. May Allah bless him. As-salamu alaykum.
Yes,
sir. Beautiful answer. Okay, and we have a question from my dear sister Lynn. She's always in our chat room. Lynn wants to know, what are we supposed to do about the food and water? They will tamper with the soil probably. What are we as women who are of childbearing age do about birth control if it's going to kill us?
Well, I would say, look, the Holy Quran as well as the Bible. And listening to us, as I just said before, what Honorable Louis Farrakhan is teaching us in the time and what must be done. He's telling us what to do. And can nobody tell it better than Honorable Louis Farrakhan. So I want my sister to listen to the Honorable Louis Farrakhan on the time and what must be done. He's telling us every Saturday what we must do in order to escape the death plot that is upon us. So if she's childbearing age and she want to know what to do for the chemicals or the food, listen to the Honorable Louis Farrakhan on the time of what must be done, and he will explain it clear. And anybody that I know for us to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Minister. And that is absolutely the truth. And he's right on that subject matter. The sterilants that are in the food, the genetically modified organisms that are in both the vegetation and the fruit. He's right on that subject. The chemical death that is being waged, not only on black people, but all people for profit. He's right into that. So as the minister said, and none can explain it better than the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, make sure that we tune in every Saturday, 6 o'clock Central Time and 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, to the time and what must be done. I just wanted to underscore your advice to the listening audience, Brother Minister. Absolutely correct.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. You want to take another question?
Oh, by all means. I really want to allow the audience to address the minister. You know, I want to hear what he has to say myself. So, yes.
You said yes, sir. Okay. Let me just inform the listening audience. Okay, we have some room on the phones now. So those of you who have questions, who are calling by phone, go ahead and press 1 on your dial pad so we can see your questions. I think they were jammed up before. But go ahead and press 1 on your dial pad. We'll take your questions live. We have a question from Google Chat from Brother Kyle. Brother Kyle asks, when will the Nation of Islam confront black political leadership about the injustices against us here? We have many in position. Wouldn't their unity be powerful regardless of their political preferences?
Well, I'll say Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has been doing it daily. But on October the 20th, the Holy Day of Atonement, tell Brother Kalal to tune in if he cannot make it, but it would be wise if he could make it. It's going to be a ministry, a million man march, and Honorable Louis Farrakhan will address that same question forthrightly. So tell him, please, if he can make the Holy Day of Atonement, October the 20th, in Tuskegee, Alabama, his question will be answered forthrightly. Again, thank you.
Thank you, Brother Minister. It's a rather, there's no question that is not a justified question. However, the minister has been fighting injustice ever since he's been in the mission, even before he became a Muslim, if we study his history. But certainly in the last 55 years or so, the minister has been dealing with injustice. It's unfortunate that others, he's in a lot of cases a solo, when it should be a concert of voices being heard. However, many are tied to the enemy and are afraid of losing whatever position they feel they have with the enemy, so they're threatened into silence. I think one of the most obvious manifestations of such is the minister's apparent absence as a speaker and participant in the recent celebration of the March on Washington, headed up supposedly by our beloved brother, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. So the minister definitely has always been speaking out for justice, always. And he's always told us that he has to go it alone. He shouldn't, nor does he want to. But if he has to go it alone, he certainly will, with the help of Allah and his Christ.
Yes, sir. Okay, I'm sorry to have my phone off from you.
That's all right.
Okay, so Sister Mariam asked a question. Have the men forgotten about the pledge, and how did they get sidetracked?
Well, I would say the most part, maybe most of them have. But I think there's some good men, and those are the voices that silent. There's men that took their pledge to heart and is living a decent life, and they're taking care of their children. They're taking care of their wives, and they're doing a great job, but, of course, you don't hear about them. But and those that didn't do it, and you say, how did they get sidetracked? Because when they went back to the cities, they didn't follow up or follow through on the pledge that Dr. Luther Farrakhan had each and every one of us to take, because of many reasons. They were sidetracked. Drugs, alcohol, all kinds of devices that the enemy is throwing at us. He's throwing so many things that we see and that we don't see. Just like Dr. Luther Farrakhan said on the Time of What Must Be Done the other day, they're putting stuff in the water that they never did before. They're putting stuff in the water that affects the black man and that does not affect the white man.
Mm.
I mean, they're doing so many things to us. Some things we know about, some things we don't. But we're acting out in ways that we never acted out before, and our sisters and wives are looking at us and wondering what is wrong with us and why we're acting this way. And you think that we're doing it on our own, but it's really in the water, it's in the pool. And those are the kind of things that is affecting the black man that he has no control over. So we're asking that all come to the Holy Day of Atonement, October the 20th, Tuskegee, Alabama. You will hear the Jesus in our midst. Give us hope again and give us a way out if we would take it.
That's right. All praises due to Allah. Thank you, Brother Minister. During the 2013 Savior's Day address, which was comprised and focused on primarily of the reintroduction of the economic blueprint of the Honorable Minister Lewis, I'm sorry, of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Well, it's his too, and ours, if we have any sense. But the economic blueprint of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And the minister announced in recent days that during the celebration anticipated celebration to be held in Tuskegee. He's going to give us the details. But one thing he mentioned was that the first initiative is to acquire land, Now, we are blessed in the Southern region. You know, Brother Minister, I don't know how many acres we have there, so I'm going to defer to you to talk about the farm in Georgia, if you will.
Yes, sir, we have close to 2,000 acres of land there. That's Brother Dr. Ridgely, the farm manager, has most of it under cultivation as we speak. But we need much more, and that's why the envelope is for our son, saying we need hundreds of acres or millions of acres of land under cultivation. And that's why he said we're going after it. We're going after millions of acres of land.
That's
so we
right.
can feed our, all our people, like you were saying. We got to feed all our people. And that's now we have to, you know, the big companies are taking over the seed. And that's why now we're going to have to even get our own seed in order to grow.
Mm-hmm.
See, I mean, this is war. It's all out war to feed our
that's
people.
That's right.
But by God's grace, we will survive. Our Father is
right.
serving in our midst.
All praises to Allah. Absolutely, Brother Minister. Absolutely. Can you give us some details of the economic blueprint? I'm sure others have heard it. Of course, we've heard it. But if would you please give us some of the details of the economic blueprint and what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is asking us to do?
Well, I only know of what he said at Savior's Day and what's on the blueprint, but what he has to offer for us in Tuskegee, I have no idea. But I know it's going to be exciting. It's going to be motivating, it's going to be inspiring, and it's going to inspire a whole nation what he's going to present to us as far as the economic blueprint. But I know it's farming. The main thing, I know he wants us to acquire land, and that's we're going to have to give money to get the land. That's the first thing. I know he's going to present that in some way. But the whole blueprint, we're going to wait for October the 20th for Honorable Louis Farrakhan to lay it out for us. By the grace of God, and we will follow.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. I want to open up the lines again for anyone who has a question or comment, and then I want to get back to you, Brother Minister, to talk about some of the enterprises that have been established under your leadership in Atlanta, Georgia. But let's open up the floor right now for the listening and participating audience. Queen Aziza?
Yes, sir. excuse me. Okay, there's a brother, I think his name is King Lord One. He says, how can we expect to be farmers without any knowledge if we wanted to grow our own food? Do we have to depend on people to go to school or get training? And how long would this take?
Huh. Well, I would say the Honorable Louis Farrakhan a few years ago sent brothers and sisters from around our nation into Milwaukee. There's a brother there that was training. We sent brothers from Atlanta, and we paid for him to go to get the training. Way to learn how to farm in a backyard and feed a multitude, because there's a way to do it. And the Honorable Louis Farrakhan set these from all over the country, and we have them ready to go. And he also have brothers and sisters on the farm that's learning how to farm. So don't take a scientist, I mean, a real scientist that know how to do farming. Once you have one or two that knows how to do it, he can teach many. So we have the trainers ready to go. So to my brother, if he doesn't know, whatever city he's in, tell him to contact the local mosque, and they will point him in the right direction so he can learn.
Yes, sir. And you know, I just got to, I have to respond to this, and you know, I usually don't, but, you know, I just want people to understand that it's, oftentimes we run into these type of questions, and maybe it's just me, but I can almost detect the spirit in which the question is asked. But you have to understand that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is doing his job. He is delivering a divine message from Allah to his people. But
that's right.
It is up to us to be obedient to his words. So it's up to us to bring our reality into fruition. So those things that we seek and those things that we desire, I pray that we're not being spooky and thinking that someone is going to produce them for us, because the minister has expounded over and over again how we must go and do for self. So if
that's
there's something that you are not aware of, you need to be in pursuit of the knowledge of it, because you're going to have to do the work that it's going to take for us as a people to survive. So it's going to take each one of us and all of us to accomplish the goal of survival in these times and to combat the forces of our enemy. No one can do that for you. It's something that we have to do for ourselves. So we are blessed with the divine instruction, but we have to do the work. And that's all I wanted to say. Thank you, Brother James and Student Minister Sharif, for allowing me that time.
All praises due to Allah, and your input is always welcome, dear sister, and you know it. So we love to hear from you, and as much as you shy away from responding or talking, I mean, every time you give your input, it's profound, it's to the point, it's right on target, and it answers not only the asked question, but the unanswered question or unasked question as well.
All praises due to Allah. I try not to be so passionate sometimes, but that one just kind of got me.
That's all right. That's all right. We love the passion. We're passionate ourselves, and I have not known, I would say very humbly, a man that is more passionate about this work than Brother Minister Sharif. This is a man
yes.
that has put his life on the line. Right.
Brother Minister Sharif has a very, how can I put it, excuse me, intimidating look. And I say that with love, of course, but I never forget him coming down to my 45, and I was on post. And, you know, everybody was on pins and needles because Supreme Captain was there. And he walked by me, and, of course, I got my soldier face on. You know, I'm not skinning and grinning. I got my soldier face on. And he looks at me, and he says, "Smile, sister." And I was like, "Are you joking?" because I thought he was just so uptight and just such the soldier, and he just said, "Smile, sister," and I was like, "Yes, sir."
All praises.
But I was nervous as all get out, so yeah, I know. Okay, we have a question from Brittany. Speaking of that, Brittany says, Brittany is 15, and her father is in the mosque in New York, 7C. Okay, she says, What do you like better, being the captain or the minister?
Oh, well, I really, my passion is I love being the captain. But I'm in love with being a minister.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Okay, and Sister Jess, Jessamima, I pray I'm pronouncing your name right, sis. She said, many have said that the mosque helps people get off of drugs. How is this done? What is the difference than what the churches and the rehabs do?
She wants to know what's the difference.
Yes, sir.
I would say the difference is depends on which drug you own. In the nation of Islam, we used to call it cold turkey.
That's
and
right.
Now they have other drugs to get you off drugs. And we tried to get you off drugs by going cold turkey. That would be one of the differences.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. And let me add to that, Sister Jasmilla, I've been in the nation a very, very long time, almost 50 years. Oh, God, I can't believe I'm saying that. But I have been able to bear witness to the fact that once a lot of the believers and even non-believers, once they come into the knowledge itself, once they are aware of their value, and once they're able to take a clear look at what this enemy and what the drugs that the enemy provides are doing, it's about making a conscious decision. Because I don't care how many drug rehabs you go to, and I've been a counselor for 26 years. I don't care how many rehabs you go to. I don't care how many drugs you take to combat other drugs. Until you do it for you, and until you hit that bottom, then you're going to always do drugs. So what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us is that you just quit. But
that's
you
right.
Quit knowing that you are striving to be who God created you to be, the beauty of which Allah created you in. And once you see that within your own spirit, within your own soul, that's enough to make you stop doing drugs. Because you can easily compare to the beast that the drugs have turned you into versus reverting back to your nature and being what Allah God desires for you to be. So that is one of the methods, the knowledge of self. Once we start having self-love,
right.
Self-value, and know our self-worth, we stop doing drugs.
That's right.
I like them. I'm sorry. Well, I had to get in here.
And stop apologizing.
I don't want to take from Brother Sharif because it's just certain things I'm passionate about. I apologize. I'm going to be quiet.
That's all right. I'm sure he doesn't mind. And we certainly love your input. And if I may add, we were blessed to host Brother Minister Sharif in the Tampa Bay area in the past weekend. And in the class, the FOI class, which of course I cannot divulge publicly, specifically what we're doing. Suffice to say, it is the class for the training of men into God. But Brother Sharif shared with us the basic training, the basic education, the basic disciplines that would allow us to master any affliction, any sickness such or addiction to whatever kind of drugs by, as you said, sis, getting in touch with and becoming aware of the knowledge of self, who you are in relationship to God, not who we are as we have been defined and portrayed here in America as niggers and, you know, coons and buffoons. But basically, again, without telling too much, Brother Sharif shared with us the necessity of getting back to the basics, because in the basic teaching and training of the FOI, therein lies the potential to be God, to express our godliness, our mastery, and, of course, our moral authority. And I want to thank Allah for the words that you shared with us, Brother Minister. Very profound and very inspiring. And we would say to all of you who are listening, Farrakhan makes men.
That's right.
And he makes men that make men. That make men. So we invite you, as Brother Minister Sharif said, listen to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan every Saturday on the time and what must be done, and make sure that your boots are on the ground in Tuskegee October 20th to hear what the minister has to say. And before then, visit your local mosque or study group and inquire as to after the classes, both for men and women.
Mm-hmm.
Because Farrakhan and Muhammad, they not only make men, but they make women as well. So I want to thank you. I don't want to talk too much about the class, Brother Minister, lest I violate. But all praises due to Allah. Okay, back to you, sis, and the audience again.
Okay, we're going to take a question from the phone. San Antonio, Texas is in the house tonight. Area code 210, your mic is live.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
How y'all doing, family?
Fine, my life. Great,
man. Hey, Vitola. Before I get started, I just want to say thank you for taking my call, dear sister. And dear brothers, and brother Minister Sharif, brother,
yes,
I just want to thank you, brother, for, I mean, you were the first Supreme Captain that I saw. And the way you would look standing behind the minister, and the way, the power that you demonstrated, and the love and commitment, man, I just want to thank you for your hard work that you did then, and the work that you're doing now.
Praise to the Lord. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Well, I just wanted to add to that question that the sister said, if I may, about why, what's the difference between the church and the Nation of Islam, and I would say a little bit differently on the end, and resurrecting the dead. Well, I can speak for myself. I was dead when I heard that voice. When I heard the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's voice, it was the power of God in that man's voice, in that man's heart, in that man's whole makeup. And so that power began to transform me, not overnight, but it began to transform my whole thinking. It transformed my heart and desire not to do drugs anymore. So I would say the difference is man and the spirit of God in the man and the army that we have. We have an army. We have a military. And in that military, like the brother said, it makes, you know, in that military we have lieutenants, we got squad leaders, we got captains, we got ministers, we got MGT captains. I mean, the sisters have a military as well. So that military also gives you that stamina, that strength, the power of God that makes you want to move out and not only save yourself, but to save your own. So I just thank the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam for bringing me out of the grave of ignorance, man. And this is the difference, is because, again, if it wasn't for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan running across this man, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad running across the God who came to save us, the Savior, Master Farah Muhammad, if it wasn't for them, man, where would we be?
That's
all I wanted to say, brothers and sisters, to share with y'all that's my understanding of the difference between the Nation of Islam and other organizations or religious organizations.
And, brother, what's your name?
I'm Brother Carl Muhammad.
Oh, I thought that was you, Brother Carl. All praises due to Allah. Thank you, dear brothers. Thank you for your comment.
Yes,
yes sir. Thank you, Brother Carl.
Thank you, Brother Carl.
All right, we're going to take one. Oh, man, I got to learn my area codes. 404, your mic is live. Area code 404, your mic is live.
Yes, can y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, this is Eugenio.
Yes, Assalamualaikum.
Assalamualaikum to everyone there. I just wanted to just make a comment and just because my questions were answered beautifully by Regional Student Minister Sharif. Sir, it's such a pleasure to hear you tonight. I mean, Sister Ziza. Oh, yes, Sister Ziza, all her hosts and all the panelists she has developed. God has put this great inspiration in her, and she has, she found me on Blog Talk Radio, and I tune in every week to hear all these wonderful programs that she is really spreading. But I just want to thank you, really thank all of you, and especially Regional Student Minister Sharif, you know, for answering my questions earlier, so that I can get on the bus in order to go to that day, that beautiful day of atonement. So that's really all I had to say, and thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Thank you, dear brother. That's my dear brother there. He checks on me every week, and he listens to every show, and we love you so much, Brother Eugenio. Thank you so much. Thank you. Okay, well, there are no more questions on the phone, but let me remind the new listening audience that if you have a question, please press 1 on your dial pad. Those of you in the chat room, you can continue to type your questions. Brother James, let's go to a talking point because I need to weed out some questions right quick.
Yes, ma'am, by all means. We certainly want to hear from you, Brother Minister, in sharing with us some of the enterprises that was spearheaded, supervised, and even initiated by you, your leadership, and the believers in the southern region, particularly in the Atlanta area. And I'd like to segue into that point by reading some of the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's message in Part 30 of The Time and What Must Be Done. He writes, in the Muslim program, under what the Muslims believe, point number 9, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad over 50 years ago said these words, we do not believe that America will ever be able to furnish enough jobs for her own millions of unemployed in addition to the jobs for now over 40 million black people. And to attest to that fact, that prophecy and its fulfillment. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan states also under the section America's Total Wealth, he states that blacks make up 13% of the U.S. population but own a meager 1% of America's total wealth. America's total wealth includes land, buildings, and business that is on the land. It equals about $65 trillion, and we own 1%, about $650 billion. He writes additionally, the foreclosure rates, Americans are losing their homes to foreclosure at a rate of 1 million a year, 1 million homes a year. 5 million Americans have lost their home so far, and the black foreclosure rate is 80% higher than the rate of whites. All of the financial gains made by the black middle class over the last 30 years have now been totally wiped out. Now to unemployment. The official unemployment rate is 7.8%. It is inching downward a little, writes the minister, but in January of this year, the official rate for blacks shot up over a full point from 13% to 14% fulfilling the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's prophetic words. That's my statement. But these numbers are deceptive, the minister continues. Some economists say that the unemployment rate for blacks is closer to 30%. 30% unemployment benefits and food stamps rates, the minister writes. Were it not for unemployment insurance, 2.3 million more people would be in poverty, while 21 million people were kept out of poverty by Social Security. Blacks were almost a quarter, 25% of those receiving extended unemployment benefits. A recent report found that more than 300,000 Americans with either master's degrees or PhD degrees were receiving food stamps. I have to continue. The minister states that the picture for the youth worldwide is just as bleak. It is estimated that 75 million young people are out of work around the world. And if you look at the revolutions that are going on all around the world and look at the faces of those who are revolting against their governments, it is the face of the young. More than 200 million young people around the earth are working but earning less than $2 a day. In the Middle East and North Africa, approximately 1 in 4 young people are without a job. And, of course, the statistics for blacks in America has always been bad. And now they are truly ominous. Now, this, of course, screams the need for us to do something for ourselves. A statement and fact that our beloved guest, Brother Minister Abdul Sharif Muhammad, has not just listened to and then mouthed the words or recite them as I am doing right now, but he's actually taken them to heart and made them flesh. So at this time, Brother Minister, would you please share with us some of the enterprises that you are now responsible for, you and the believers in Atlanta and in the southern region?
Thank you. Yes, we're, by the grace of God, we've started, we have a large bookstore that we sell books, tapes, and accessories out of. And we have employed brothers and sisters there. We have, by the grace of God, we have a sewing factory for the sisters. We have a boutique for the sisters so they can, after they make their wares, they also can display their wares in the store to sell. So that's for the sisters showing that we're not sexist. So enterprising for both sides, brothers as well as sisters. We have a food bank that's run by a sister. She has a office set up there, and we feed over 200 people a week. Mm-hmm. Every week we feed over 200 people by the grace of God from the food bank that we have. We have a restaurant, by the grace of God, a first-class restaurant that we have over 20 people employed. That's not on welfare. That's not on food stamp. God has blessed us. We have that. We have on the drawing board, hopefully coming off by the end of this week right here. We've gone out and we're in the process of buying farmland. We have done what Donald Lewis Farquhar taught us on our Black Mama. We have pooled our resources and we're going to buy farmland. We're going to raise the dairy cows so we can have our own milk. This is coming off the drawing board by the grace of God this week here. That's coming up. And we have more enterprises on the drawing board. I don't want to go into those yet until we get those, but we're moving fast to try to open up every kind of business, but doing it for self that we can, and not talking it, but we're actually doing it by the grace of God.
That's right.
So if you're ever in the Atlanta area, we have a bakery. I forgot to tell you about the weather bakery. We have the baddest bean pie on the planet. It's called a Supreme Bean Pie.
Yes,
we're telling you, please, we're not responsible. Once you eat it, you're hooked. So please, come on by, and you can purchase the bean pie. And you're not too far away. We will send it anywhere on earth. And we're now, in the near future, we're trying to sign up a contract with the baby plane so we can send the pies up to the baby plane. That's not bad thing. So you must go and take that pea pie. But
yes,
we're trying to do exactly what Don Blue and Farrakhan want us to do, and that's do for self. So we're trying to open up as many businesses as we can. We have a coming off the drawing board training seminar to teach and train our brothers and sisters how to be entrepreneurs. We're teaching them. We know they're not teaching that in the colleges, but we're teaching it. So stay in tune with us, and soon you'll be able to Skype your way into the classroom for well, no matter where you are. And we're teaching one of the main disciplines that we have to teach in being an entrepreneur is the fear factor. You have to overcome fear of success. I'm going to say it again. We have to overcome fear of success. That is real in our life, whether you want to admit it or not. We have to become unfearful of being successful, because nothing that we want, we cannot have in the name of Allah. Remember that. But those are the things that we're doing, and we're striving hard to spread out. We have our T-Mobile. Matter of fact, Brother James, today we got our master license today, and we have a T-Mobile franchise. And we are now allowed to have four T-Mobile franchises in the Atlanta area. I'm going to say it again. We have our T-Mobile franchise. It's not that difficult. And when you tune into our training class, we will tell you, because in the southern region, by the grace of God, we're going to open up the T-Mobile franchise in every city that we are over, by the grace of God, that Honorable Farrakhan allowed me to be over. We are going economic. That's the way now. We have to go economic. So we have the T-Mobile. It's probably you'll be able to pay bills. You'll be able to buy your phones. You'll be able to pay the time on your phone. From a black entrepreneur, and we're trying to set it up as James, so next time you want to get a phone, you can get it from the T-Mobile franchise in Atlanta. You want to pay your bill, you can pay it over the phone, you can pay it through Atlanta. We must unite and do something for ourselves. And the more we buy from self, the stronger we become, the more we can hire our own people, the more we can open up more enterprises all over this country. We can do it as a people. This is what Don Blue Farrakhan is teaching us. We can do it. And by the
all
grace of God, we're doing
Allah.
It. Alhamdulillah.
All praise is due to Allah. Thank you. And see, that's the spirit to which I was referring earlier on. And, of course, the work. And in mentioning the spirit, Brother Minister, we also want you to talk about, from the spiritual aspect, how progressive you were and are in establishing study groups throughout the South, particularly in Atlanta, but all over the region. And by the way, before you answer, Brother Minister, I know you stipulated that you want a T-Mobile franchise in every city you are over, but I don't happen to be in the southern region at that time. Don't forget your brother in Florida and that area as well, dear brother. I just wanted to put that plug in.
Yes, sir.
All praise is due to Allah. But please, if you would, your work under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in establishing spiritual study center throughout Atlanta and the southern region?
Well, what I would like to say, foremost, is this. What we strive to do from Atlanta is whatever the Honorable Louis Farrakhan says that he wants, we strive hard to do it. And in setting up the study group, those are our spiritual base. We attempted, and we're, by the grace of God, that's what we've done. We're trying to set up, we have set up study groups just about every quarter of the city. And then we went out in the region and then do the same thing. But one of the key things to do, you cannot be, quote-unquote, in a leadership role and be insecure.
That's
I'm going
right.
to say this part again.
That's
you
right.
cannot be in a leadership role under an Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and be insecure in your post or your position or whatever you want to call it and choke the people out. No, we got 40 million plus people. So we must expand. So we have to expand this study group, this study circle all over this country, but especially in the southern region. So if you don't want to work and you lazy, don't come in the southern region. But if you're aggressive and want to work and be a productive citizen in the Nation of Islam or join on, come on. We got plenty of room for you. All over, no matter what city. No city too small, no city too big. All you have to do is be a willing participant to learn the teachings. But come. Come on. Give us your tithe, your restless. Isn't that what the second
Scripture
says? And give us your poor. That's the we're holding it up at the International Airport in Atlanta. Holding it up. Come on. Send your tithe, your poor, your restless. We'll welcome him. But we're striving hard to do exactly what Donald Lewis Farrakhan wants us to do. And all are welcome. Just striving hard, spiritually as well as physically. We're striving hard to help our people because we love our people. Up, humanity nation, you can accomplish what you will. And that's freedom, justice, and equality. So that's
right.
what we're striving to do in the southern region.
Praise be to Allah, Brother Minister. And I bear witness. I bear witness. All right, my dear sister and Queen Aziza Mariam Muhammad. Do we have any online or on the phone who'd like to participate at this time?
Yes, we have a call on the phone. Area code 702, your mic is live. Area code 702.
As-salamu alaykum, family.
Wa alaykum salam,
sir.
Yes, this is your brother, Muhammad Abdul Malik Muhammad, chiming in all the way from Las Vegas, Nevada. Before I head out to Muhammad, number 75.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I am so excited. I am elated. I've also, like sister, has had opportunity to serve and be around Brother Minister Sharif on numerous of occasions. I've been blessed to be in the nation for 22 years. And what I've heard over this phone, it has encouraged me to get up and go out and remove fear and just step up and do all that we could do. I'm just so encouraged. I mean, you know, you got the southern region. I remember the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan saying about 7 or 8 years ago, he said once the brothers and sisters wake up in the south, it's all over.
That's right.
And I see the brothers and sisters are alive and well and raising the bar. So I just wanted to chime in and let you all know that I love you. And Brother Minister Sharif, I'm the brother when you came to Vegas. I'm at the airport, and I asked you this question. I said, how can I help the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan more? And you told me to help my captain. I was the first officer at that time. So I love you all. Keep up the mighty work.
Love you
nation
too, brother.
As-salamu alaykum.
Look, my brother, please. How's Brother Duke doing these days? He was a little under the weather. How's he doing?
Brother, just pray for our brother. He's definitely needs our prayers, but he's still standing strong
praise
and holding the flag up. All praises be to Allah.
Yes, sir. All right. Thank you very much. Give everybody's greeting out there, please.
Yes, sir. Will do. Assalamu alaikum, family. Thank you for allowing me to speak.
Alaikum salam.
Alaikum salam, dear brother.
All right, let's continue to roll on.
Brother Minister.
Ma'am.
We'll keep Brother Minister Duke in our prayers, most definitely.
Okay.
You know, we always got to have some controversy, so here we go. We got a question from a brother named David. And I don't know if David is a brother or not, but we're going to ask the question anyway. David said, do you feel that the minister is transferring blame? He says, how does an entire race of people end up being drug addicts, non-workers, baby daddies, and bums today? Slavery is over. No one is making them do anything. Now, I'm going to let y'all answer before I answer.
Oh, my God.
Y'all need to hurry up and answer before I answer. That's what's up.
Go ahead and answer, my sister. If you want to respond, please.
I'm bursting at the seams. Not going to come out right, brother. Well, no, let me just do this. Let me say this. Let me say this. You know, the last comment on David's question is slavery is over. Well, that's what you say. However, slavery is not over. Maybe gone are the days of sharecropping and living on the master's plantation may be over. And that's only for some, because know with the surety that if any of us are incarcerated, we on the master's plantation. But if we don't have a hand at the policies that they enact up on us, and if we don't have a hand at the policies that they write that affect us, then we are not free. We are not a free people to govern ourselves. So therefore, when you ask how can they be dope addicts, drug addicts, because the powers that be floods the community with drugs. The powers that be keeps the black man unemployed. The powers that be beats the black man down, takes his self-esteem in what you call in institutions of higher learning, but what it is an institution of mind and brainwashing. So when you say that we are free, or if that's what you're implying, no, we're not free. Because if we were free, we wouldn't have a need to fight for freedom, justice, and equality like we're doing today. So no, we are not free. These are the things that have been enacted upon us by a people that have enslaved us. And even though we might not be enslaved physically, mentally, socially, politically, financially, we are still enslaved. So I don't know if you were saying it to be sarcastic or whether you were saying for a lack of knowledge, but I hope you understand now. No, the minister is not transferring blame. Transferring blame is to take it from one person to another or from one place to another. The white man is guilty. He always been guilty. He gonna always be guilty. So, no, he's not transferring the blame anywhere. He's leaving it and calling it where it is. Now, I'm going to hush. And I'm going to let y'all answer that question. I'm going to put my phone on mute and give me some water. All praises to Allah.
Brother Minister, did you want to address that question?
No, I want you to go ahead. You go ahead and address it.
Yes, sir. I'm going to let me say this. You know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has said that many of the broader community really don't know what was done and what has happened to us. And when people look at black people and our condition by and large, on the surface of things, it would appear that we're not taking advantage of the so-called opportunities that other ethnic and racial people who come into the country and have been in the country for a shorter time than we have done. However, This is why you have to educate yourself as to what was done to black people. And while I'm on that note, not only are blacks not free, but whites are not free in America under its deceptive and hypocritical and controlling government. You all recently went to war with an entire nation on the basis of a lie. You're in Afghanistan on the basis of a lie. You're proposing to attack Iran and North Korea, all of which are on the basis of lies. There's been covert activity that is now a matter of record that has resulted in the murder of millions of Americans, black, white, Hispanic, and otherwise. So no one is really free. And in terms of black people being free, yes, we are, if we would take advantage of that one who is leading us to freedom. However, the Emancipation Proclamation, dear questioner, did not free us. That word emancipate comes from the root word emancipere, which means to free from the direct control of my hand, but not from the purview of my power. Dr. Martin Luther King said that, yes, it is incontestable and inarguable that blacks commit crimes. But these, he said, are derivative crimes, meaning they derive from a circumstance that was not created by black people. The circumstances were created by a people who robbed us of the knowledge of our God, robbed us of the knowledge of ourselves, robbed us of the knowledge of our folkways, our mores, our mother tongue, our religion, robbed us of all of what we had before we were brought to this country. And from the time that our fathers set the soles of their feet in the Western Hemisphere, our lot has been one of a slave-master relationship with white people. However, you have a point. There have been many that have come to the black man and woman in America and have offered us a way out of this condition. And now the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is calling us out of this condition with the program of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, specifically what the Muslims want and what the Muslims believe. But I want you to be a little careful, particularly those who are of the broader community. You know, your beginnings were not so great. You emerged out of the caves and hillsides of Europe. You went savage and went on all fours. You and the dogs had a wonderful relationship. It was not until we, the black man of Asia, the Asiatic black man, sent you the prophet Moses or Musa to teach you of the forgotten technology of your father who made you.
Come on now.
Then you got up off of all fours and came raging out of the caves and hillsides of Europe as murderers, killing everything in your path and robbing and plundering everything in your path. We don't blame you for that. That's according to the nature in which you were made. We understand that, but you must remember you have only been here for a few days. A few days. And the Bible teaches you, honor your mother and father so that your days will be long in the earth, or in the land that the Lord thy God giveth you. The black man and woman are the fathers and mothers of all races of people. That is an irrefutable biological and genetical fact of record that cannot be disputed. So be careful. We were brought to the condition we were in, not at our hand, but by yours. And now you owe a debt to black people. Yes, you do. And if we were to collect on the debt, then America would have to give us everything she owns. Our fathers died on every foreign battlefield, fighting for freedom. For you, not for us, because we never experienced that freedom we fought, bled, and died for. You set up segregation. You set up Jim Crow. You robbed the black man of his manhood. And now we're trying to rebuild ourselves up from the conditions that you have set. And so as Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. stated, the soul that is left in darkness, it is that darkness that is the culpable one, or the one that left the soul in darkness. That is the culpable one, the blamable one, the crimes that manifest as a result from the soul that was left in darkness were derived from the crime of the darkness, from the purveyor of darkness. You made it illegal and the pain of death for a black man to read, leaving his mind in darkness. You made it illegal and the pain of death for one of your own to teach the black man or woman to read. So our minds were wrapped in darkness, engulfed in darkness. And so the scripture says the light shined in the darkness, but the darkness perceived it not. It says he came to his own, and his own received him not. But in Matthew 24, as I conclude my response, it reads, as lightning shineth out of the east, even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. That man from a man, like a man, but greater than man, divine and personified of the Spirit of God to the supreme degree. Allah appeared in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, and the scripture states further that wheresoever the carcass lies, there shall the eagles be gathered together. What is a carcass? A carcass is the remains of something that was once alive and now is dead. Well, what do the eagles have to do with that statement or that scripture? The eagle is the symbol of America, a predatory bird of prey, huh? And ever since we have been in America, black people have been and are now the prey of the American government and of white people. But all praise is due to Allah for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. You keep watching, and you'll see a change coming over black people who follow the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and are willing to guide ourselves by his instruction. So what you do is you get the hell out of the way. Because every time a black man tries to raise up black people, here comes the American government and their counterintelligence program doing whatever they can to undermine our efforts to repair a damage that we are not responsible for, but you are. So don't talk so quick. And Sister Aziza, you're not the only passionate one.
Well, my goodness, I see. I'm not the only one that needs a glass of water either.
Excuse me, Brother Minister.
Yes, sir. Quite all right. Praise be to Allah. I would like to end that question to Mr. David, that I want him to say and remember this, and to all of us that have forgotten this, that the white man is the devil.
That's right. That's right.
Just in that small statement. He has been and shall always be. And that's why he's listening to us. And he's listening to us. We can't even talk among each other. Here he goes, get him in. He can't help himself because he is the
Yes, sir.
Oh, my goodness. He just said,
all
I'm a black man. Okay, but you know what? You a black man, you black on your skin, but in your mind, you something else. And that's all I'm going to say. We're going to take a question from the phone. Area code 443. Area code 443. Your mic is live.
Yes, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
This is Brother Chance Hall on Facebook.
Assalamu
alaikum, Brother Chance. Assalamu alaikum. Glad to hear from you all. I'm glad to be a part of the show. This is a wonderful show. I just wanted to say, give the greetings to Brother Captain, Brother Minister Sharif. That's my captain.
Brother Sharif,
you know me as Brother Carlton in Washington, D.C., Brother Carlton X.
Oh, Brother Carlton, how you doing, soldier?
This brother right here. This is a wonderful brother. I wouldn't really be the man that I am today to my children if it had not been for this man coming in my life, Brother Sharif. I just wanted to tell you that me and my son here, we are listening to your radio station. I said to my son earlier, we got to listen to the radio station because Brother Captain is going to be on the radio station. He knows who Brother Captain is when I tell him who Brother Captain is because I taught him about you, you know, ever since he was a little boy. He's now 16 years old, born February the 26th.
How you doing, Brother Carlton?
Come on with him, sir.
My man. I haven't heard from you, man. I've seen you.
I'm still here.
Man. Look, let me give you my number. I want you to call me tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
You ready?
Yes, sir.
Call me at 773-447-3205.
Yes, sir. I'll call you tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Anytime or is it a particular time?
Anytime.
Sir?
Don't matter. I want to hear from
yes,
you.
Yes, sir.
I remember you.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to thank you. It's good to hear your voice, brother. And
yes,
I wanted
sir.
To say that I'm looking forward to hearing the minister of Tuskegee. I'm into this economic program. This is what I went to school for. This is what I was inspired for all of my days in the nation. And I think that it's about time that we do for something for self. So I'm gung-ho with it. I got my money right here that I want to put into whatever the situation is that the minister wants to do. And I'm ready to do. I'm actually here living in Maryland, Brother Captain. And I live in a part of the Maryland called Hagerstown, and we're surrounded by farms. I'm just
yes,
trying
sir.
To figure out which one I want to buy, but I haven't figured out which one yet. But when I figure it out, I'm going to buy one.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to do some farming myself.
Yes, sir. Praise
I just
sure.
wanted to say also to the brother who may have, the brother who, said something about, you know, us, the minister, placing blame on someone else, I would say that, you know, this is what they do when they see me about to make a move. They try to interject something, you know, into something good.
Yes,
but that's okay. But I do know this, that we're moving forward, and I thank you all for having the program and letting me come on in and speak. And I hope that, we will actually get this thing moving all across the country and we can make a network. And how will we make a network? Let me ask that question. How are we intending on networking the economic program throughout the country?
Well, I'm quite sure on October the 20th, the minister is going to drop it out on us what he wants us to do. And I promise you, you'll know on October the 20th.
Yes, sir. Again, I would like to say it's nice to hear you, sir. And
yes,
thank
sir.
You all for having me on the program. And I look forward to speaking with you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thank you, beloved.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Chance.
Salaam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Okay.
Okay.
Listen, we got time for a couple of more questions. I want to leave some time for the minister to close out with some closing remarks and, of course, the announcements. But do we have any more questions online or comments?
We have one question that I'm going to take the time to ask. We got plenty of questions. But,
oh, yeah.
You know what I mean. But Sister Kenna, I think her name is Kenna, says, does the Nation of Islam have a community where all believers work and live and protect one another? She's 17. And she said, I'm 17 and I'm joining when I'm turning 18. My parents would not let me join now. Aww. All praises to Allah.
All praises to Allah. Yes, sir, Brother Minister.
Yes, so you tell her, I can't wait for 18 for her to turn 18. And when she turns 18, come on and join. You would not make a mistake. The Nation of Islam is where you belong. We love you. We wait for you.
That's right.
We protect you by God's grace. So you are our future.
That's right. All praises due to Allah. Well, sister, I don't know what city that you're in, but if you type it in, I will definitely contact the sister captain there and let her know to be awaiting your arrival. So just type that in the inbox, in my personal inbox, so that everyone in chat room won't see, and I will get that information to the sister captain in your city and let her know that, okay, in April she will be 18, and that she is going to join the Nation of Islam. All right, well, you know what they say? When we get a brother, we get a soldier, but when we get a sister, we get a nation. All praises due
to
Allah.
Right. That's right.
So, that's right. So all praises due to Allah. Okay, sister, thank you. All right, well, that's all, Brother James. We're going to proceed on somewhere else. We're not going to ask these other questions.
Okay. Well, very good. Well,
yes,
as we're moving toward the closing minutes of the show, you know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, as you have said, Brother Minister, is going to unveil or reveal details of how and what we're going to do to move forward, particularly as it relates to the economic blueprint. However, there was instructions conveyed to us in his Savior's Day address regarding how we could get started right now if we haven't started yet. But we can get started right now leading up to the Day of Atonement by following these instructions of sacrifice that the minister has given us. And Brother Minister, in the closing moments of the show, would you please share with us what the minister asked of us to do?
Yes, sir. He asked all of us to save 35 cents a week, and he told us we could put it in a bank, a little savings container, and he would give us direction on the whole Day of Atonement with the Senate, so we can start right now if we have not already started. The minimum was 35 cents a week, but I'm telling you, by the grace of God, I can't wait for the whole Day of Atonement.
That's
so
we're going
to unveil what he wants us to do. It's going to lift the whole people up.
That's
by the grace of God. So save your 35 cents a week plus every week until you get the direction
right
on the whole Day of Atonement.
That's right. All praises be to Allah. And I just want to, if I may, read what the minister has projected regarding the 35% of week and what it will render, if you don't mind, Brother Minister. He states that there are 16 million out of the 40 or so million who are earning some kind of salary. And out of those 40 million, the 16 million are being asked to sacrifice 5 cents a day. That's for 7 days, which is a week. And as Minister Sharif says, 35 cents a week. He asks the question, do you have it? Isn't that painless? You know you don't like pain, he states. And look at this, he writes. 35 cents a week times 52 weeks a year is $18.20 per year. And if everybody listening by television, everybody under the sound of my voice gave $18.20 a year, multiply that by 16 million in the working poor. $18.20 a year times 16 million will equal $291,200,000 in just 1 year. Look at the power, he states, of the pennies, nickels, and dimes if all of us did this. Can you see the picture? And I'll ask again, can we see the picture? Let's start right now. For those of us who haven't started, put aside that 5 cents a day. And you know, any allowance that you give your children, you can't give them a nickel. They don't even know what a nickel looks like unless you're teaching. You can't buy anything with a nickel. So tell them, train them, show them how to put it away and let them know what they're putting it away for. In 1 year, $291,200,000. Do you think we would have to beg the white man or any man for better schools wherein we could get better education? Do you think we would have to beg the white man for a job? Do you think with $291,200,000 we can build factory schools, hospitals, buy farmland, feed ourselves with $291 million? Of course, that's not enough for the whole $40 million. But multiply that by 5 years, by 10 years, we would indeed be free. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad told the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, brother, I want you to think for the whole. And when he said the whole, he wasn't talking just about the small, quote-unquote, nation of Islam, but he was talking about the whole of our people, the whole of our people. And now that we are 40 million plus strong and every one of us praying on a daily basis, oh God, please give us this day our daily bread. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad asked him, if there are 40 million people, it was 22 million at the time of the writing, but we'll bring it up to date. If 40 million people ate 3 meals a day and had a slice of bread with those meals, three times 40 million is 120 million slices of bread needed. Then he asked the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, how much land would we need to put under wheat cultivation to provide our people our daily or their daily bread? So I'm going to close that statement, hoping that with it being said, we put something on your mind. I want to now allow our beloved brother and guest and student minister to say whatever closing remarks he'd like to make, as well as any information that he'd like to share with us, any endeavors or initiatives that are taking place in Atlanta or in the southern region that we might be able to assist him and us with. So, Brother Minister, your closing remark?
I would like to put it again. My honor. To come on your show, and thank you, Brother James and my sister, for allowing me to come on. I would like to thank the listening audience for bending your ears for this time. I hope and pray to Allah that we did not abuse it in any way.
That's right.
Because all we want is to show love and unity. And I would like to see if any of you can visit Atlanta, please come by 3642 Camelton Road in Atlanta, Georgia. 3642 Camelton Road. You come by, you must stop by. That's tomorrow. And then we'll take you to the restaurant or to the bookstore or to the boutique or to the sewing factory and the bakery. As my brother asked, if there's anything that you all could do to help us, we must buy from self.
That's right.
And I'm saying if you want to buy just a slice of pie or a pie, you can call the number that I gave out a few minutes ago. And you can buy. There's no place too far. We can ship you a pie. But we must patronize each other. If you have whatever you're selling, you let us know in Atlanta. We will purchase it from you. And we're asking you to purchase from us. We must trade with each other. No matter what, we must trade with each other. And that's how we grow stronger and stronger and stronger. So if you want to help us, purchase something from us. And then let us know, and we'll purchase something from you. Brother James, you can be the contact person. You know how to reach us at any time if you want to go to Brother James. Brother James, I want to thank you again. It's been really an honor to be on your show and a privilege, and I really enjoyed it. Don't forget, October the 20th, Tuskegee, Alabama. Harvard Lewis Farrakhan, God willing, will speak. 18th anniversary of the Million Man March. Holy Day of Atonement. Please. Thank you, Brother James, and I thank you so very much. Anytime you need your brother, I'm here to serve. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Love you. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. And I thank you, Brother Minister, and it is our privilege and honor, and of course, that commitment is mutual. If there's anything that I can offer in the way of service and help to you and to the great work that you're doing under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Lewis Farrakhan, I am at your service by the help and grace of Almighty God Allah. Would you please give the meeting times, that address again, and the contact number, if you will, before you close out, Brother Minister?
Yes, sir. 3642 Camelton Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30314. 3642 Camelton Road, Atlanta, Georgia. And if you want to reach, you can phone number, you can reach it at 773-447-3205. And you'll get a quick response, no matter what you want. Thank you.
Praise be to Allah. And the meeting times, Brother Minister, the meeting time?
Okay. Sunday is 11 o'clock. Weekdays, 8 o'clock. Wednesday and Friday, 8 o'clock. And if you want to watch with us on the Saturday afternoon, at 7 o'clock, the time and what must be done, and that's at 880 Martin Luther King Drive. That's at the restaurant. We show time and what must be done. You can come and fellowship with us and get a good meal at 880 Martin Luther King Drive, Atlanta, Georgia, Lucy's Restaurant. The time of what must be done, 7 o'clock. Thank you so very much, Dr. James.
All praises be to Allah. Thank you, Brother Minister, and we hope to have you again at some point to grace these airways with the information you have and guidance from the Honorable Minister Lewis Farrakhan. Thank you again, sir. And
let me know.
Yes, sir. And Sister Queen Aziza, the announcement?
Well, before we take an announcement, we have a question from Brother Abraham Sharif that he wants to ask, and I promised that I would try to get it in. Now, I'm going to try to read this, Brother Abraham. He says, please take us more deeply into the significance of Minister Farrakhan's words recently as today in answer to a question asked of him. And, okay, he said, could you watch with me one brief hour? And then he says that the hour was the hour of his betrayal into the hands of his enemy. Now, that was an answer that Minister Farrakhan gave, if I'm not mistaken. Then he says, this answer was given in reference to Jesus' disciples. They slept at times, drifting back and forth into their old ways and norms on delivering his message. We are in the hour, scripturally, now. So I guess he would want you to expound on that.
Wow. Brother Minister, you still with us?
Well, to me, I would tell my brother, since he wants to go deeper in that and we're at the end now, tell him to tweet the minister. The minister will answer him. Tell him to tweet the minister on Twitter, and the minister will answer that.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Great.
All right. Well, I'm going to make the announcements, and then we're going to have a special treat at the end. So join us tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Central for Young, Gifted, and Black with our host, Brother Ronnie, and Sister Yatira, known as TT. And they're going to be talking about the sterilization of black women in North Carolina. Mm. That's tomorrow at 8 p.m. Central. Join us on Sunday for our economic development program, No Romance Without Finance with Brother Vernon at 6:30 p.m. Central on Monday, 8 o'clock p.m. Brother Kareem Muhammad out of St. Louis is going to be back with Conscious Black Nation on Tuesday. Our beloved Brother Jahad Muhammad right there from Atlanta in mosque number 15, he's going to host again out on the front line if we don't have a believers meeting. If we do have a believers meeting, which I think the minister is speaking on Tuesday, we will do a rebroadcast. On Wednesday, join us for DJ Black Caesar and Friends at 7 p.m. Central. And on Thursday at 8 p.m. Central, I will be back again with Why the Black Woman Refuses to Submit Part 3, Battle of the Sexes. So we're bringing the FOI and the MGT together. And, of course, next Friday, we'll be right back here with Student Minister James Muhammad and our live study group, Put On the New Man. And since we were talking about the Day of Atonement, we're going to close with this. So stand by and may you take this pledge again in spirit.
Allahu Akbar.
Take this pledge with me. Say with me, please. I. Say your name. Pledge that from this day forward, I will strive to love my brother as I love myself. I. Say your name.
From this day forward,
we'll strive. Sophia Lolly, my own black sister. I say your name. Pledge from this day forward that I will not poison my body with drugs or that which is destructive to my health and my well-being. I say your name. Pledge from this day forward. Support black newspapers, black radio, black television. I will support black artists who clean up their acts to show respect for themselves and respect for their people and respect for the ears of the human family.
All praises due to Allah. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Student Minister Abdul Sharif Muhammad, for joining us tonight. It was certainly an honor. And we leave you as we came before you in our greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. One nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Walaikum
salam. Love you all.
Good night to all. And thank you.
Love you more. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.